Hi, this is Steve Ide for the Research Bureau Angle. The Research Bureau just released a report that analyzed the settlements recently negotiated between Worcester and its major public employee unions. I thought I'd share some of its findings. Flashback to last spring, when it looked like Worcester's budget cycle would be a repeat of the last two fiscal years. In order to balance its FY10 and FY11 budgets, Worcester had to cut 15% of its non-school workforce. In some ways, this year looked even worse, since the stimulus funds, which provided some stability to the city's finances, especially on the school side, were entirely gone. But Worcester managed to avoid more layoffs and service cuts because the city's unions agreed to greater health insurance cost sharing. For the recession and local aid cuts were not the only threats to Worcester's budget. Intensifying the effect of the collapse in revenues was the increase in fixed costs, most notably employee health insurance. The deficit could have been worse had the city manager, over the past several years, not made addressing unsustainable trends in healthcare costs a priority of his administration. With the important exceptions of the teachers and the police officials, all city employees, prior to last spring, paid for 25% of their healthcare premiums. This is a rate much higher than is found in many other municipalities. But there is another way to restrain healthcare spending other than increasing employees' premium costs, which is through shifting costs away from premiums towards copays and deductibles. Raising copays and instituting deductibles would mean lower premiums for employer and, it's important to emphasize, employee as well. But Worcester has long been unable to alter plan designs because all such changes were subject to collective bargaining as a matter of state law. Cities couldn't even raise a copay by $5 without bargaining over it, which also meant, in effect, making some concession on some other end. Although state government did, just this past summer, finally grant municipalities some new special authority over plan design, Worcester shifted costs to copays and deductibles on its own authority. The Worcester School Committee also succeeded in increasing teachers' premium contribution rate to the benchmark 25% level, as did the city manager in negotiations with the police officials. This did come at a price. The settlements, which covered the next 3 years, granted salary schedule modifications in the first year of the new contract, followed by 1-2% raises in latter years. The teachers' union got the best deal by far, as their salary modifications were really raises in all but name. The public safety unions got pre-existing stipends rolled into their base salaries. This had a negligible effect on police and fire take-home pay and pensionable earnings, although it will give police a boost to their pay from working off-duty road details. The city manager, voting on behalf of city government, was the lone dissenter in approving the new contract between the school committee and the teachers' union. He claimed that the teachers' deal was overly generous and that, though it managed to avoid teacher layoffs this year, it may have set the school department up for layoffs in future years. How did the settlements benefit the taxpaying public? The size of the city's budget and tax bills were going to be the same no matter what. The issue was, how was Worcester going to allocate its resources? In past years, Worcester has been in the absurd position of having to lay off some employees in order to continue to fund benefits for other employees. This year it was different. Jobs and services received higher priority than generous health benefits for public employees. For more information and analysis on this issue, please read the whole report, Worcester Settles with Unions, a Review, available on our website at www.wrrb.org. This has been Steve Ide for the Research Bureau Angle on AM 830 WCRN.